Thank you. wake-up call this world needs to know that there is only one who's worthy to receive worship and praise. Of course, every football star and every movie star out there, they get all the adoration of all the people. And the Lord Jesus Christ sits over in the corner just waiting for somebody who he paid the price for to come accept him and worship him the worship that is due to him. But tonight, that's what we want to do. That's what we're here for, is to accept the Lord and whatever he has for us tonight. I know he's got a special words for us tonight. I believe, as I've said many times in the past, before the foundation of the world, he absolutely, really in his infancy, but he laid out what we would hear tonight. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
And I believe he does inhabit the praises of his people. But I know he always comes with welcome. And when he comes, something always good, it always happens.
Amen.
Amen. And so we believe that tonight. And so I want to welcome each one of you, welcome the visitors. And I don't know the name of the young lady. I can't remember her name. But anyway, we will welcome her. She's came with the brother and sister Norrod. I want to welcome them. I know they've driven many hours today. And so we ask the Lord to bless them, give them the strength that they need. And I know that you never want to try and serve God without there being a sacrifice in it, right? There's always got to be, you have to put forth an effort. I listened to Brother Bram say that in desperation, and he was talking about people that, you know, they just have, he said the phrase, they're born with a silver spoon in their mouth. Well, we're not like that. And so we want to put forth an effort tonight, and God will not, he will not be left to owe someone. He pays. And so you reach out to him tonight, and he certainly will come and bless you. And so we want to, I don't have any prayer requests that have been given to me tonight, so we just want to bow our hearts just for a minute and ask the Lord to come. Lord Jesus, as we have this time before us, Lord, that you have so graciously granted to us, Lord, and a time, and Lord, a place that's sanctified for your presence, and a place that we can come to meet you, Lord. And God, we come now at this time with expectation in our hearts. Lord, as we look out on the horizon and we see the things that are coming upon this earth, both in physical and in spiritual realm, we realize, Lord, it's such a battle, but your word says that we could look up and lift up our heads and our redemption draws nigh. And Lord, we feel your Holy Spirit moving in our hearts, just wooing us and telling us that that's exactly the hour we live in. And so, Lord, when this hour is so dark, yet in our hearts we have a joy, something that cries out, looking forward, Lord, to the days ahead and what you will do. But tonight, Lord, as we come into this service, we just want to give you the preeminence of all things, everything that's said and done, every song that's sung. Lord, I pray that you would just take that and use that for your glory. God, to bless your people, to draw them to you. God, if there's anyone here that has anything that's in their life that is amiss, we pray, God, that you find the liberty that you need tonight, Lord, just to speak and address that in their lives, Lord, and that after this service is over with tonight, we could all go home and say that each one of us are closer to you at the end of service than we were when we came in. We ask, God, that you do this. Bless everyone. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And you can be seated.
Soon, Jesus and all his glory, not just a Savior, but a reigning King. Coming soon, and the world will be a witness. Oh, get ready, for he is. Once he came to this world of sin and sorrow, a humble place in a manger in Bethlehem. But this time he's coming back with all his power.
Amen.
Great King of earth will bow and worship. Jesus in all his glory. Not just a Savior, but a reigning King. Coming soon, and the world will be with him. Oh, get ready, for he is coming soon. And when he comes, he'll bind the power.
To come. Amen. It's good to see all these different saints, Brother Chode, and all the different saints from around Knoll. I sure appreciate seeing you all again tonight. Amen. And Brother Prater, good to see you, Sister Pam, tonight. You saints from over in Fort Smith. And the Lord willing, we'll be over there tomorrow afternoon for the communion service. Brother Prater's invited us to speak for him there at the church. And partake in the communion. So looking forward to that. I want to give you just a few moments of a report on the missions because, as most of you know, I just returned from England, France, and from Belgium this summer. And then Monday I just got back from Africa. And so I just wanted to give you just a small report on some of the things that the Lord had done there. We, as I told you last time here that I was making my trip there, Brother Prater and I had planned to go back in June, stay about 3 weeks, travel from the north of Ghana, Burkina Faso, and come all the way to the coast, fly back and go home. So we found out kind of just almost last minute that there were some complications that we couldn't avoid. So we canceled the trip, postponed, tried to reschedule, find out a better way to do things. And really, to be honest with you, it went several months before I realized exactly maybe how I could arrange it. So I was in contact with a brother there in Ghana by the name of Samson Tay. I don't know if many people may not know Brother Samson, but he's one of the main brothers there in Ghana that started many of the message works there in the country of Ghana. And so we was able to go there, the Lord will. I think it started 21st, I think, wasn't it, Samantha? 21st, something like that. And then, of course, I got back Monday afternoon. And so I preached 10 services in 8 days. 8 times in a row. They really laid it on me. So, but the Lord was with me, strengthened me, helped me. I preached in many different churches, many different pastors. Saw nearly 100 people come over the course of those meetings to give their hearts to the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And we're very thankful for that. We don't know exactly where they'll end up at, but we're thankful that they made a step anyways, kind of that direction, and was able to help and edify a lot of the pastors and the brethren that were there. Took some services, preached on some of the revelations of the day and the time that we're living in, tried to bring the church the best as we could up to speed on some of the things that God's doing. And so many of the brethren were just... they were just elated at some of the messages I was able to bring to them, some of the things that's been preaching, things that you and I enjoy here in the United States that they don't really get to hear a whole lot, because many of those brothers there in those villages and places, they're limited on books and those sort of things. And so to be able to bring some of the things you and I enjoy and they get to hear it, oh, that's just they don't want you to quit after an hour. You know, you start shutting down, they get mad at you. What are you doing? Keep on preaching, you know, and so forth like that. So, but then the summer, of course, we was able to go into three countries. I went into London and preached, France, preached some conventions there, and into Belgium. And I preached to an entire Congolese group. From the time I got there to the time I left, I preached for one white brother, and half of his church was Congolese. Amen. So I preached to Africa in Europe. Amen. So I was there, even though I didn't make it there the first time, I was there anyways. Or they were there, one or the other. And we got to see many wonderful things that way. The Lord was really good to us in the traveling. We got to visit about, I think it was 12 different churches from the time we left to go to London to the time we left in Belgium. Saw different people really edified and helped. Heard some reports of different saints that had troubles in their homes and marriages about to split. The Lord put them back together, and different families were helped in revelation, understanding things that some people said they had questions about for years and years and years. The Lord come right along and answered those questions right in the meeting. So I want to say thank you to this church and your support for those works in the missions. And thank you for your prayers and for praying for us that the Lord would keep us safe. It sure meant a lot to me being over there in that country. And went by myself this time, of course, because the brother that I met there, Brother Samson, he's a very wonderful host. You're very well protected there. And thank God there was no Ebola in Ghana. None. Not one speck of Ebola
Praise
in
God.
Ghana. And we're praying that, you know, that the UN, as a matter of fact, set up an international headquarters right there in Ghana, and the capital city of Accra, where you fly into to try to fight that going on over in Liberia and Guinea and Sierra Leone, those places. So we certainly need to pray for those saints, because I know they're in quite desperate need. And I heard the report come in that not one saint of God has been reported as contracting Ebola over those countries.
Amen.
I'm thankful to the Lord. Praise God for that. Certainly mindful, and we're thankful that he is. Amen. So that was just a little small report just to let you know what we have done. And I don't know exactly what 2015 will hold for us, but I want to say thank you for your help and your support in 2014. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer. Amen. So I'm going to have tonight my niece Megan. I'm going to have my daughters come and sing. Samantha has, she woke up this morning with laryngitis, this old croup and crud and things going on. So I'm going to give her the night off. I'm going to give her a break tonight. Tomorrow morning, she's got to work. And especially, Brother Prager said she's got to do a certain song tomorrow afternoon, and we're going to hold her to that. That's
Amen.
Just going to be the way. And I'm going to give her the night off. You know, the boss has to give him a night off every now and then to keep the help happy. You know what I'm saying? And so we're going to let her have a break tonight. But I'd like to use these young people to come and sing. Why don't you come tonight and sing the song you wrote for these folks here, will you?
Oh,
Let's with that lady. Once y'all come up here, we'll let the little kids. You like to hear these little kids sing?
Amen. We'll let y'all do some songs for these folks.
We have a little thing we do on Tuesdays. We go to the nursing home, assisted living community, they call it to be exact. And they do all these little old kids songs, you know, where they do the motions and all that kind of stuff like that. And when we first started doing it, I thought, well, now, them old folks, they would love that. You know what I come to find out? Us adults like it just as much as everybody else likes it. So we're going to let these little old kids sing. Now, here's Zacchaeus.
Is a new and fresh anointing here. Spirit calling you to go. Walk on through the door. The Lord will go before you into a greater power.
Got saved.
Right, brother.
But a different anointing is leading us into the depth of the Word of God, into deeper revelations, understanding
Lord, who He is.
Amen. I want to turn tonight to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. We'll speak tonight, the Lord will help us upon encouraging yourself. Encouraging yourself. You might say, Brother Ben, it would seem like we want to be encouraged of the Lord. Well, that's true. But sometimes the Lord won't encourage you. That's the place where you're supposed to say amen. Mm-hmm. Right. Sometimes the Lord won't say one word to you. He'll let you get right in the middle of a mess, right in the middle of trouble. And then He'll take a step back and say, all right, you handle it now. Lord, y'all ain't going to shout at me tonight. Sure as the world, are you? Yeah, it's truth anyways. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away, and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives, and their sons, and their daughters were taken captives. How many of you have been back to church Sunday?
Come on.
Yeah. How many of you have come back to the house of the Lord?
Right. Yeah.
Now watch now. David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives. So notice, David has affected himself by the situation. It's not just the people that he's ruling over, but he has affected himself personally.
Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly overjoyed, happy, shouting, "Praise God, we're in the middle of the battle. We're losing." You mean to tell me David had the same kind of response that you and I have when we get right in the middle of trouble? What was he? Greatly distressed. Anybody know what I'm talking about tonight? "For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved." What a church service. "Every man for his sons and for his daughters," of course. "But David encouraged himself in the Lord is God."
Amen.
Now, either this man has went slap plumb crazy. He is so emotionally distraught, he's lost his mind. Or David knew a secret to times like this.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's pray over the word today. My, as your heads are bowed, if you just have a need you'd like to be remembered tonight by the uplifting of your hands, amen. The Lord bless you. Mine's up too. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord Jesus, to come into your house. Lord God, it is a privilege and honor to look into the Word of God, to pull back the sacred pages of the sacred text, looking for the great author to come down tonight to take His Word and speak, minister, and edify our hearts. Lord Jesus, as we look into your word, we have no ability as human beings to pull out of this word what we truly need. But as I heard Brother Branham say today, that if we'll be children of Abraham and staggered not at your promise, you will bring everything you've written to pass in our lives. Help us tonight, Father, not to be staggerers. Help us, Lord, not to be wayward people, that our feet would shift from here to there. But let us be on a firm foundation tonight. May our souls be edified in the ministering of the word, and may every uplifted hand, may it be saw by your great eyes, Lord Jesus, and the need that is underneath that hand, may it be met by your great power. And as we are standing here in your divine presence, I pray you'd help me tonight, help them, Lord Jesus, to get ourselves out of the way that we might receive from thy engrafted words. We thank you tonight. We pray that you'll bless the service, put your approval upon it, Lord Jesus, and may nothing be accomplished tonight but what would bring glory to yourself. For we thank you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. And all the children of God said amen.
Amen.
You may be seated tonight. May the Lord bless you. Now I hope I ain't going to have to hold on to that amen as though it's the last amen I'm going to get tonight. I hope you and Van Buren people are going to get with me a little bit. And if you get quiet, well, we've got Fort Smith and we've got Noel here to help out. So we just put us call for a little help from time to time. Amen. Amen. Now, this is a subject I feel is necessary for us today, especially right here in this specific area, because we've seen such a mass destruction of people's faith coming across, especially through some of these churches here, with this believe the sign thing and the way that people have become so wavered and lost their faith and their confidence in the message. And so it looks to me, as we're looking at some of these situations, that this is a zigzag to us. And as we go around the different parts of the country, Brother Tony, we find that it's the same situation everywhere we go. There are people around the ranks of this message here in the U.S. that are losing their confidence in this message because they're listening at gainsayers. They're listening at people without the Holy Ghost to try to interpret God's Word based on theological interpretations. Without the Spirit of God leading these men and leading these people, they put things on the website and they put this and that up there. Let's just be honest. We're living in a time around this message. Many of our churches are looking just like this right here. Now, you realize that this battle that's taking place, really the pros and cons, the politics and all that, really didn't matter at this time. The results of this war is what's affecting these individuals. Now, most of us have been in battles the years that we've served the Lord, and we've had ups and we've had downs. We've had family members leave the message. We've had people in church that seem to be so on fire for the Lord, you know, within a few months they're gone.
But it seems as though there must be a key in all of this, Brother Roberts, of how that we can strive on and continue to move forward as the people of God. Yeah. Now, I don't know about you, but I refuse. I may lose battles. I may go through hard times, down times, discouraging times, and not feel like I can win. And there might be many battles that I might lose, absolutely lose. But one thing is evident. I refuse to be a loser of the war.
Right.
Because I believe Almighty God has entrusted to us the ability to win everything that comes our direction. I believe we have overcoming power in every circumstance that we face. Now, look around at your families. Look at the destruction that has taken place just in your own little home there. You know, you have this person doing this and this son doing that, this daughter doing that. You have this mother, this father, this thing, that thing. And where are we living at? Just look around at the condition of your homes and your churches, even your places of business. Look at the way people are in such a mess. We are in a zigzag, friends, whether we like to admit it or not. We are right in the middle of some of the most devastating times that this world has ever seen in 6,000 years.
Sure.
And what we have heard Brother Branham teach us and preach to us that the world is falling apart, here we are looking at those scriptures, those statements being fulfilled right in our very eyes and ears. Now, I don't know about you. The way that I approach things whenever I get into a trial, I try to approach it by the grace of God the way Brother Branham approached it. That is, said, if I know that I'm in the will of God, he said, then I just hold steady. You know what I'm saying? He said, if the wall's in front of me, the wall's this way, the wall's that way, he said, I just hold still until God can make a way. If I can't go over, can't go under, can't go around, I just wait until the Lord can show me a way through that thing, because we ourselves, we don't know how to win every battle. So many times the Lord will entrust to us certain characteristics of a battle, certain, you know, parts of a battle, and the Lord will just let you sit right there in the middle of that trial, and he won't give you scriptures, he won't give you preachers, he won't give you song leaders, deacons, trustees, special singing. You'll just be sitting right there. And it's in those times that we must learn the key to standing in the grace of God and standing on our own two feet, and that is how we encourage ourselves in the Lord our God.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. I know this is going to be sticky, but just stick together, okay? Now, you realize that this is where we're living. You just look at the trouble that has been caused just in the last few years. Because some men defect from the message and put up on social media and put up on their websites different criticisms against Brother Brown.
Yeah.
Do people really sit down and take the Bible and study these criticisms out? No, what they do is they pull in a bunch of quotes and they compare this quote with that quote and try to discern what they think this thing and that thing is. Do they sit down and consult godly leaders? Absolutely not.
No.
Many of them form their own opinions. They lean to the arm of their own understanding.
Right.
And then the families that are a part of this mess are standing there left holding the bag. So there must be a way. If God is not going to intervene and shut these people down, strike them with cancer, strike them with this, let the typhoons hit the middle of their home or whatever it might be, then there must be an answer or reality to how we are to stand in this last day. And the answer is in that God is not going to remove these gainsayers from us. You are never going to prove what kind of bride you are if you don't have the adversity and the opposition to stand there against you and pull out of you all them divine qualities that lay in the heart of the child of God. It takes battles, it takes trials. Come on, somebody. It takes great things to pull out of us all of these characteristics that lay in the heart of the bride. A man never proves what he is when he's on the mountaintop. It is always, always when he's in the valley, that's when a man proves what he is.
That's right.
I hear people say many times, oh, I'll serve the Lord. And as long as everything's going good, yeah, they're going to serve the Lord. The minute the first little trial comes along, they've lost their faith. They've lost their courage.
Right.
Huh? They've lost everything. They're ready to walk off and leave the message altogether. Leave God altogether. Leave everything that's holy altogether because they got discouraged. Well, bless your poor, pitiful little heart. If one little discouragement is going to run you out, goodbye. We need your seat anyways.
Come on. Amen.
Now, friends, let's not be babies. Let's tell the truth just like it is.
Amen.
Right.
Notice David encourages himself. Now, friend, you can't get in any greater battle than what's going on right here.
That's right.
This man is absolutely in some of the greatest trials of his life.
Yeah.
He's standing here. His wives have been abducted. His children's wives have been abducted. The captain's wives have been abducted. Their children have been kidnapped. The town, the city around him, the village around him has been utterly laid into ashes. There's flames of ashes and fire and everything laying all around them. And David's standing there looking at all this, and the people are getting mad at David. It's your fault. You're the one that led us into this battle. You're the one that told us that we needed to come by this way. And now look at where we're at. Isn't it amazing? When the congregation gets upset, they always blame the pastor. Even though they're the ones that voted him in. Well, praise the Lord. That's right. Now notice, the man of God is not always to blame, friends. The real blame lays on each and every one of us and how we respond to these spiritual trials from God. Listen, friend, people sit down in church and they blame preachers for everything. They blame a preacher why they can't pray and blame a preacher why they can't serve God. Well, I would be a closer to God if it wasn't for that preacher. You've got a Bible just like I do. You've got the ability to pray just like I do. Don't let me stand in your way from serving God.
Amen.
Right. Amen. You can serve the Lord just as much as you want to serve Him.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. Nobody, if you're really convinced, can stop you from living to your height and your potential in Christ.
That's right.
Well, I'm not going to get too many amens from some of you because you're going to be bullheaded, but it's the truth anyhow. Amen.
Amen.
Absolutely right. That's amen, and thus saith the Lord of the Word of God. We can do anything, and I'm going to prove to you in just a little bit how stinking, rotten, low-down, spoiled we Americans really are. But David, now watch this, the soul of the people are so grieved that they can't hardly stand it. You're the man. It's your fault. If you hadn't have preached that message, you wouldn't have brought this on us.
Uh-huh.
If you hadn't have mentioned that man's name in the pulpit, if you hadn't have put them tracts and them books out in that vestibule out there, nobody would think we're a cult.
Right.
Come on,
it's your fault why we're in this condition in the first place. And David, looking all over the scene, looks around the people and he thinks to himself, what am I going to do? I know it's hard to imagine these men as men, but they got so discouraged sometimes. I imagine those silent years of the Bible that have never been wrote down. Many multiplied discouragements have been attached to these leaders' lives that we'll know nothing about until the day that we get a chance to meet them on the other side.
Right.
This little bit of window that we see into David's life, most of the time, what do we see? With a harp in his hand, singing praise unto God, prophesying the coming of the Lord, all these great things. But now, David is distressed.
Right.
And he's not just distressed, he's greatly distressed. What am I going to do? Look at her, all this around us. But I love this man because he didn't allow circumstances around him to stop him from being a Christian.
Amen.
You know, I've learned in the years that the Lord's let me serve Him and in the years that I've preached, I've learned that some people cannot successfully serve the Lord unless a musician's in the building, unless a certain song leader's got the pulpit, unless a certain song is sang or a certain style of song. If the song leader chooses to sing all slow songs and no fast ones, it just interrupts their whole service because they're depending upon the dynamic of that service to be somebody has to bring church to them. For the real Christian friend, they're not waiting for somebody to bring you church. You're bringing church to them. I want you to know, I plan for the rest of my days, if God help me, Brother Tony, I want to be a walking one-man revival. Oh, hallelujah! No matter what anybody says or anybody does, you ain't going to stop me. I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to sing. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to raise my hands. I'm going to glorify my Lord Jesus because I come to the house of God to feed on His Word, and I plan on feeding. But some people, brother, they can't have church unless somebody's working it all up and getting their emotions all riled up. And then if that guy ain't there, then they go right back to the same old dud they've been for the last 30 years. Praise the Lord, church.
Amen.
That's the reason why God is making it so hard on some of us Americans, because we are so stinking set in our ways.
Yeah.
We've got to have it this way and that way. What if you was one of them saints over there facing Ebola tonight?
Right.
What if you, some of them people didn't even have running water or clean food, had to pray every meal on your table?
That's right.
I imagine your attitude would be a lot different than what it is for some of us.
That's right. David. Yes, sir.
But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He said, I'm not going to let none of this get me down. I'm not going to let none of it stop me.
That's right.
Amen.
I'm going to encourage myself.
Yes,
oh, glory to God. Oh, I'm going to tell you, friends, if we can learn to get to this spot right here, that we'll be made of stuff the devil can't bluff. Oh, brother, we'll get to the place where the power of God will so flow through this bride until Satan won't be able to stop her. David encourages himself. Encourages himself. Maybe he stopped and said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down green pastures. Leads me by the still waters. People probably looked over here and said, what in the world is the matter with that idiot? Cannot he see his two wives? And that one was one of his favorites.
Right.
You imagine that? Send out your luckiest children of God. All of us are in a complete devastation. And there he is back in church on Sunday morning, and he's singing and worshiping God. What's the matter when the whole church is sitting in a big old long face in the church?
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, I tell you, stop acting like a mule, start acting like a thoroughbred.
Come on,
this ain't no long-faced religion. Come on, somebody. This ain't no long-faced religion. We are in the house of God.
Amen.
To move forward as sons and daughters of God, full of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We let so much drag us down into the depths of depravity.
Right.
When sometimes what we need to do is stop and encourage ourselves.
Yes, amen.
Lord our God.
Amen.
Right.
I want to explain something to you. If God never blesses me, not another day in my life. If I never feel His presence again. If He never heals my body again. If I live the rest of my days without one touch from His hand. I've got enough years of His blessings that I could praise Him the rest of my days. He gave me life, gave me health, gave me years of service to Him. I've got enough in my history that I could love and worship the Lord Jesus if He never blesses me another day in my life.
Right. Amen.
But we're half empty people, aren't we?
Come on.
Go ahead, shake your head. You're guilty. Go ahead. Admit it. We're half empty people. We wake up, and if the coffee pot don't get hot enough for us, Lord, it ruins our day. Come on now, and I'm not making fun of you now. You know I'm telling the truth. We are in such a tither and such a dither that if things don't go a certain way, it just riles us up. If somebody don't move out in front of that red light quick enough, you're ready to blow them away.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, that's true.
But David looks around him and he stops and he says, no! I am not going to allow these circumstances to bring me down.
Amen.
I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord my God.
Amen.
Look around you, friends. Many miracles are sitting in this building tonight.
Amen.
Hmm? Should we stop and have testimony service to prove that? Or can some of you raise your hand tonight and say you were a miracle when Jesus found you? Huh? When Jesus got a hold of your life, was you not the worst mess it ever could have been? You was in drugs and alcohol, this, that, and the other, running from this church to that. When Jesus found you, you was the biggest mess there could have ever been found. But oh, thank God, His mercy, His grace came down and pulled you out of the miry clay. There's enough miracles in this building to have a week's revival just on what He's done for you.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
That's right. Amen. Praise God.
Encourage yourself. Encourage yourself in the Lord your God. We're going to have a time right here tonight.
Amen.
I like what I feel, what I feel, what I'm feeling, what I'm feeling. Notice in perfect faith, my man says, you know, I get spells, you know. I get moody. Now, I know some of you cherubims in here tonight, I'll excuse you from these next few quotes. certainly wouldn't want to hold any of the holy angels of heaven here tonight to any kind of charge, but rest of you few humans in here, just me and Brother Prater and Tony and a few of us in here, we'll feed on these quotes, and y'all just keep your mind on those heavenly things, okay? Brother Brandon says, I get moody. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're getting moody. Sometimes your wife will say, what's the matter? No, no!
Come on. That's true, brother. Come on.
Yeah. Wife will say to the husband, you all right? Yes! Moody. Moody. Brother Man says, I get to a spot. He said, what gets me is where I get to those spells when I get all overworked. And Satan comes telling me, why, nobody cares for you. Oh, I guess he's been telling you that too, huh? I thought I was the only one, me and Brother Brandon, but let's see, I've got some friends with me here tonight. Nobody cares for you. You haven't got a friend in the world. Remember, I'm not immune from temptation. I've got to overcome that. Overcome that. Now, what's he talking about? Those moody spells. You mean to tell me Brother Branham would place overcoming on the level of overcoming moodiness, Brother Prater? Being moody, you'd have to overcome that. Yes. Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely, because you create the world that you live in. Right. And if you want people to fall in the atmosphere of the tokens, Brother Branham said, create that, let your children and so forth fall in the atmosphere of it. How can you create a token atmosphere when you're living a Molly Grub life?
That's right.
Who preached to us, Jesus? I'll say amen.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. How in the world can you create spoken word, third pool conditions when you're living down in the bottoms of Egypt?
Amen.
He says, nobody ain't got a friend in the world that ever says, nobody cares for you. He said, I'm not immune, I've got to overcome that. Then I look back and I see something like this. Now watch. This is the message, perfect faith. And Brother Branham is going through the parking lot and he's looking at the license plates from all the different states that are gathered in the tabernacle. He sees one from this way out there, some 2,000 miles away. Sees this guy 500 miles, this guy 800 miles, this one 600 miles. And Brother Branham goes through the parking lot looking at these license plates. And it encourages him in what he's trying to do.
Think about it, huh?
Makes me wonder, friends, if we're looking for encouragement in the wrong places sometimes.
That's right. Uh-huh. Thank you, man.
Simple things that a person overlooks many days. I was thinking about this morning. There are many blessings, simple things that we overlook. Simply put, did you ever stop to consider the convenience of a toilet in this church? Until you go to Africa and you have to use a hole in the ground, you don't really appreciate that pretty little white throne sitting in that room back there.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Many of these simple things that we overlook, simple things like a Diet Pepsi, I almost shouted the glory when they found Coca Light for me down there. Just simple little things that we overlook, and many times that's where many of our blessings lay in everyday life, is in the simple things that we tend to ignore sometimes.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. Did your eyes come open this morning? That's a blessing. Do you got breath in your lungs? Why, you ought to be saying, amen, praise the Lord. That's a blessing. You could have woke up dead. That works. Come on now. You could have been absolutely paralyzed. There could have been all sorts of things that came to your doorstep this morning. But look, you're blessed this morning. You were blessed this morning when you woke up. You had health. You had strength. You had life. Yes, you may have trials out before you, but you've got the answer of how to whip them trials.
Amen.
He says, I get all overworked. He said, when I see something like this, I put it right back in his face and say, well, if nobody loves me and I haven't got a friend, then why is this guy from Arizona coming all the way out here to come hear me preach?
Good.
He said, and that helps me to overcome.
Yeah. Amen.
Mm. Remember, when the glass is half empty, it is also half full.
Amen. That's right.
Good. Now let's look now in Daniel chapter 9, verse 2. Now let's look at a man that was really in a zigzag type of condition. If there was anybody in the message, we'd say, that was really having it hard, I'd say Daniel was probably one of them guys. No websites, but most everybody was bowing down to idols themselves. You realize realize that in all of them children of Israel out there, there were four people in the entire nation of Israel down in Babylon that refused to serve idols. Four. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which was their given their Babylonian names. These men refused to let Satan have the best of them. Well, what happened to everybody else? They finally give in. They give in. They were fed up. Well, if that's the way it's going to be, forget it. If God's going to take us down here and throw us in bondage, well, why do we even have to worry about it? But Daniel, chapter 9, verse 2, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books. Amen. That ought to make some of you message people shout your shoe heels off. Because what is it that we understand by today? By the books that we have today.
Yeah.
Notice, Daniel was reading now from the prophet Jeremiah. He was reading the prophet's books.
Amen.
No. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. And he noticed the number of the years where the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah that it would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So not only is he going into a trial, but he's got an exact date and time as to how long he's going to be in this trial. Now what if God come to some of you tonight, come to me, and said, Ben, I'm going to let you go through a 90-year trial until the day you die, your 90th birthday. That's when you're going to die and the trial will end. Huh. Wonder how we'd serve God in such a condition. See, we're blessed. Many times we don't know the dates, the length, the time of our trials. We don't even know they're coming sometimes. You be walking down the street, whammo, something happens right in the middle of the street, and you're in the middle of a trial. Before you even know it, you're in the middle of it. Daniel knew how long they were going to be in desolation. He knew. Now watch it. In Gabriel's instructions, Brother Ram says, now the prophet Daniel had been in Babylon for 68 years. Wonder what kind of man he was after 68 years.
Come on.
Wonder if he was some of the type of people like you see around the ranks of this message. They sit in church, stare at the preacher, yawn when they get tired, their belly growls when they get hungry, and then they start thinking about where are we going to go eat? Is it going to be Brahms or Burger King or where are we headed?
Come on.
Huh?
Come on, brother.
See, this is the reason why that God has to deal with us so roughly sometimes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's why God has to tear us apart sometimes.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. That's right. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Come on, brother.
Thank you, Jesus. Because if He cares about us, He wants us to be right. So He will tear us apart sometimes to keep us right. Thank God He does. I said, thank God He does. Because if He left us alone and ignored us, we'd be in a real mess. But thank God for David. He always corrects us and moves us forward.
Amen.
Now here's a man 68 years. Think of this. 68 years. Brother Bradham says, he went into captivity 606. The vision came to him, B.C. 538. From 606, at least 68 years. 68 years he'd been in Babylon amongst heathens, and he still had the victory.
Amen.
Brother Adam says, amen! We can't even stay an hour, he says. And that's about the truth of it, because you hit your 45-minute mark preaching, and people are already starting to...
Yeah.
And you think we can't see you, but you're not that subtle. We just pretend like we don't see you because... we want to keep on preaching, that's why. Like Brother Carroll said one time, he said, don't bother me if a man looks down at his watch, see what time it is, but when he picks it up, starts beating it on the pew and rattling to see if it's still working, he said, that kind of bothers me a little bit. Right. We can't stay an hour, but look at this man, 68 years among heathens. Look at what Brother said. He'd been in the midst of, he said, nobody but three companions, and then in different parts of the kingdom. Daniel, standing alone with God, and had the victory for 68 years.
Think about it.
Uh-huh. Mm. He kept the victory, was undefiled before God, and didn't even have the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Uh-oh.
And you and I have got the Holy Ghost, and yet this man without the Holy Ghost seems to have more victory than some of you and I do.
Uh-huh.
Well, preach, Brother Ben.
Amen.
I think I will.
Amen.
Notice he said, without the blood of Christ to make intercession, only the blood of bulls and goats. He said he had to offer it secretly because of the heathen traditions of that land. He said Jeremiah prophesied. Jeremiah prophesied 606, prophesied he was there because of their sins and gone this every 70 years.
Yeah.
Notice in Daniel chapter 10 verse 12, when the angel of God comes to Daniel, Daniel prays and the Lord makes him wait 21 days. Makes him wait 21 days. Not because he was trying to make it hard on his child, but because the atmosphere was saturated with demon power and them angels of God had to fight to get down to Daniel.
That's right.
Amen. That's
right. Now, it wasn't just the influence of what was going on in the earth, but it was also what was happening in the atmosphere of the dimensions above.
Yeah.
It wasn't just the realms below that was fighting and struggling and full of heathens, but them heathens was creating an atmosphere that when Gabriel come to Daniel, it took him 21 days to fight through all of that cloud of death and darkness to get down to him. And then when he finds him, he says, I am come for your words. Lord, I think this and I'm praying that way and I'm asking for this and you got about 5 minutes. And if God don't answer it in about 5 minutes or 5 days or 5 years or whatever it is, we've done give up on that part of God. I heard Brother Benham say today, Abraham waited 25 years and he staggered not at the promise of God. But yet you can go right back in the Bible and you can find time and time and time again that Abraham as a man laughed at God when he told him the promise. He done this, he done that, he done the other. But Brother Bram said today when his divine commentary was wrote, God didn't look at none of that humanity. He looked at the very seed inside of his heart.
Amen.
The faith where he believed God in spite of his own self. He still believed God.
Amen.
Oh, that don't mean we're not going to get discouraged, children. Have ups and downs. Yes, we're going to have them. Yes, there's going to be times we feel like giving in, throwing away the towel. But Brother God himself will look down at your soul and realize down inside of that soul is a predestinated journey of Almighty God, and the Holy Ghost will know that that child is not going to be moved no matter what. They might get discouraged, they might be feel the pressure around them, but they're not going to give up. That's the kind of people we need right here in Arkansas tonight. No matter what's going around, Ziklag, don't give up. Encourage yourself in the Lord your God.
Amen.
Yes, we might have troubles. Yes, there might be problems going around, but thank God we've still got Christ on our side.
Amen. Amen.
We've still got His Word. We've still got His Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Notice he said, Daniel, an alien, ousted from his people, ousted from his church, without one church service or any church to go to, without any hymns to be sang except for those he sang to himself. In the midst of all of this, he still held on to what that prophet said. Oh. And Brother Man says, amen and amen.
Yes,
that's exactly where you and I are right here tonight.
Yes.
No matter what's going on around us, no matter how many people are leaving this message, no matter how discouraging it looks, church is going this way, preacher's going that way, but oh, friends, we have a message, the words of a prophet, hallelujah, that we can hold on that said, this bride will be an undefeatable army of God.
Amen.
Amen. No church to go to, he says. No church to go to. For some people, that would be a blessing. Huh?
Come on.
For some people, the church, you know, the many so-called Christians, church to them is like a person buying a car with power windows. You can take it or you can leave it. But church is not optional.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. But you don't understand my job and my this and my that and my other. I don't care what it is. Church is not optional.
Right.
That's right. Come on. Right.
You are not to forsake yourself in assembling together.
Amen.
Even more so as you see the day approach.
That's right. That's
right. We're supposed to be absolutely honed in to this word of God.
Yes,
sir. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think my battery died. I think it died. You can't hear me no more, can you?
No.
Can you hear it? It's dead.
No, we're fine. Just keep preaching.
All right. Let me use this, though, for my voice. I'll die. All right, notice now. He said, nobody to go to church, nobody to fellowship with, no church to go to, rather. He said, everybody went to the heathen temples and everybody worshiped their idols. No Christian songs. Nobody believed the same thing that he did. And in 68 years, from a young man of about 12, 14 years old, when he was taken down there, he held true to God and understood Jeremiah the prophet, and the days that he spoke of were almost accomplished. And in all of those years, nobody to fellowship with, nobody to encourage him. Nobody to take him by the hand and say, brother, just keep on preaching. Just keep on serving the Lord. Just keep on singing. Just keep on moving forward.
Right.
He had nobody.
Right. Amen.
All by himself.
Yeah.
And yet, he served God as a victor, as a conqueror,
Amen.
As an overcomer.
Right.
Friends, what in the world's the matter with us?
Right.
What's the matter with us? We've got the Holy Ghost. This man didn't even have the Holy Ghost. Come on now.
Right.
He didn't even have a new birth. We've got the new birth, and we can barely make it through church.
Uh-huh.
Let's face facts. We've let the devil rob from us every piece of victory and joy, and he's laid in our lap some kind of a situation where when we come to the house of God that we've got to have everything in order just the way it needs to be in order for us even to be happy.
Right. Yeah.
If the temperature just ain't right, oh Lord have mercy, that ruins a church service. If the song leader and the musicians can't get together, one's playing in G, one playing in F, one playing 3-4 time, one playing 4-4, it's the awfulest mess you ever seen in your life. I tell you, brother, when I was out there just a few weeks ago, some of them musicians out there, they didn't a bit more know how to play them instruments than that one boy was just banging on the thing. It was tearing me all to pieces, but he had joy in the Lord. Amen. And while he was playing, he wasn't worried about whether he was in G or F or X or Q. He was wanting one thing: bring Jesus down. Bring the Holy Ghost down. Bring the power of God into the place where he can feel the presence of the Lord. That's where our focus should be tonight. Out of anybody in this world, we've got some of the greatest opportunities to hear from Jesus than anybody else on this planet. And we come walking into the church just same old, same.
Come on, brother.
And if the preacher ain't preaching like we think he should preach, well, I thought he's going to be a fireball tonight. He's kind of quiet. Well, who knows? Maybe the Lord didn't want him to be a fireball tonight.
That's right.
Come on.
Maybe the Lord wanted him to slow down and talk to the people for a little while.
Yeah.
Well, he's a teacher. Well, we don't need teaching. Oh, Lord have mercy. If there's ever been a people in the world that needed a good old case of good old-fashioned gospel teaching, it's this people in America.
Right.
It's this pride in North America. We need some teaching, brother. We need to have our foundation. There are people still in this message. They've been sending message churches for 40 years that still don't have confidence in Brother Brown. That still don't understand the opening of the Word. That still don't understand the very coming of the Son of Man. They don't understand nothing. They sit right in church and just stare and look. And, well, that's nice. That's nice. And they wonder why in the world, why they're the ones that run back and forth to the pastor's office trying to get help from everybody.
That's right.
You know why? Because they're not digging, they're not studying, they're not applying themselves. They're waiting for someone to encourage them. The answer is encourage yourself.
Amen.
Oh my, notice in the book of Judges. Judges chapter 3 now, verse 31. I'd like for you to turn with this if you got your Bible. I want just one small scripture, but I'd like you to look at it. Now, there's very little said about this man here in the scripture, but I love this type here, Shamgar.
Yeah.
Amen.
To me, he's a real, real servant of God.
Amen.
Not much was accomplished in his life, but what was accomplished was pretty mighty.
Uh-huh.
Judges chapter 3, verse 31.
Amen.
And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad.
Yep.
And he also delivered Israel. Now, I want you to notice, one man killed 600 men. I don't know if you're doing your math or not, but that's 600 to 1.
Right.
Now, which one of you, if there were 600 men waiting outside this church to whip you, which one of you be rolling your sleeves up saying, come on?
Amen.
Amen.
I imagine we'd have an all-night prayer meeting very quickly in this church.
Amen.
That's right. And I'd be the first one at the altar. Right? But this man, now just watch how the prophet begins to explain what he was. Now, Brother Ram tells us that the Philistines had come over top that hill and taken all of his crop and had starved his family to death. He said, there's his wife standing. He said, her elbows sticking out of her skirt where she's malnutrition and malnourished. His children about starved to death. He said, all of a sudden, something come over his
Amen.
Oh.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And he realized, I'm an Israelite with a covenant. Oh, hallelujah. I'm an Israelite with a of a sudden something begins working inside of his heart. And Brother Bam says he got good and fighting mad. Do you know what some of our problems are? We're way too passive. The devil comes along and we just, oh, yes, Mr. Devil. Yes, Mr. Devil. Yes, Mr. Devil, nothing.
Right.
Sometimes, brother, you need to get fighting mad. You see Satan come ransack your home, take away your prayer life, and hit you this way, hit you that way. You need to get fighting mad and say, Satan, I have had enough of this. I'm a son and daughter of God. I've got the Holy Ghost. There's no reason whatsoever.
That's right.
Why I should sit back and take you taking it for everything from me. Brother Man said, Brother Shamgar, get his stuff up, his wheat, like he did every year about the time to get his crops up. Along would come the Philistines and take it away. That's the way the devil does. He said, that's what the devil's good for. About the time you get a little courage built up, along come the devil and try to take it away from you. Feeling strong and feeling mighty, can take on the devil, take on every imp out of hell, and Satan will let one little discouragement come your way.
Right.
And what do we do? Bow our head over and just quit. Oh. What am I going to do? Them Philistines are taking my crop. Well, you got one or two choices. Sit back and do nothing and die. Or get fighting mad and go take the fight to them.
Amen.
I know in this politically correct world, we don't like using the words fight and angry. Because we're a sweet people, aren't we? Until somebody cuts you off in traffic.
Come on now.
We're all this genteel, this sleeping little gentle giant. Until something don't go the way we want it to and then we're mad.
Come on.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. But we need to be getting mad about the right things and not the wrong things. When you see that you don't have a prayer life, that ought to make you fight mad.
Yes, sir.
When you see that you can't make it to the house of God, that ought to be enough to boil your blood.
Amen.
You ought to be able to stop and say, no more, Satan.
That's right.
This is my property. This is my possession.
Amen.
Brother Madden says, just like the revival going now, about the time you get it started, the glory of God begins to fall. Some quack has to come up and do something that's not right and take the glory out of the whole thing. Do you realize that's what these websites are all about?
Right.
God was beginning to move in a way for the bride in this last couple of years like we've never seen in the Word. Things were opening up. Revelations were popping open at 100 million miles a minute. 100 million miles a second. The revelation was hitting left and right. Don't you realize what a lot of this is out here? That's Satan moving in on the territory. He's trying to disrupt and interrupt and discourage and take away the glory. But I've got news from the devil. We're not going to sit back and take it.
Come on.
We're not going to sit back and say nothing about it. We're going to fight.
Amen.
Who's with me?
Amen.
I said we're going to fight.
Amen.
We're not going to sit back and take no for an answer. This is our inheritance in the Word.
Amen.
We don't have to sit back and take no for an answer. We've got the answer already.
Amen.
Brother Ram said every year they'd come over that hill like fat potato bugs.
Yeah.
And here Shamgar would see him coming up over the hill. Oh no. I've worked so hard to get my prayer life built up. I worked so hard to get myself encouraged in coming to church and listening to tapes. You ever been there? You ever been that stuff? You've worked as hard as you can work and all of a sudden something will happen to try to upset you. That ought to be the time you ought to be the most encouraged. Because when you see the devil coming to take something that you've got, children, you've got something for him to take.
That's right.
Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. When the devil wants to come take something from you, that means you've got something that he can take. That means that you've gained ground. That means you move forward in the Holy Ghost. If he's coming after it, that means you have made gains in the Lord. So Shamgar looks out there and he says, this year going to be different. Because one way or another, somebody's going to die. This is my final year. I can't take another year, neither can my kids. We're all going to starve to death. So if I'm going to die, I'm at least going to go out not like a coward. I'm going to go out fighting. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, I wish the church of the living God had that kind of desperation in their soul tonight to where they would look out of the condition. down Ziklag and say, I may die, but I'm not going out a coward. I'm not going out a coward, a yellow bellied coward. I'm going out a tiger.
Amen.
Unless, of course, you've readied yourself for the picnic. Huh? Brother Bam said, this ain't a picnic.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This is not a hot dog roast.
That's right.
Put your Dijon away. Put your Grey Poupon away. Put your ketchup away. Don't worry about them 2-for-1 hot dogs you bought the other night. This is not a picnic. This is a fight.
Amen.
Paul wasn't dressing picnickers in Ephesians chapter 6. He was dressing soldiers.
Amen.
He'd give you a sword, give you a helmet, give you a shield. Come on, somebody. He'd give you all of these characteristics, not to sit around and do nothing with it, but to fight. And you notice he never give you not one stitch of armor on your back, because this bride ain't supposed to run from hell. Oh, praise the Lord. Some quack has to come up and try to take the glory out of the whole thing. That's what these websites should be. www.quack.com. That's quack right. Artists. That's what these people are.
That's it.
I'd be scared to say some of the things some of these people say about
me. Yes,
and you know what? It's a bunch of armchair people. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Armchair generals, armchair politicians. You know what they are, don't you? There's somebody can sit in an armchair and complain about every move in politics, but they would never run for office. They would never go through the experiences and the trials and the troubles of trying to do it themselves. But they can sure sit in the armchair and watch the quarterback throw the touchdowns and say, you should have threw it that way instead of that way. Well, get on the field yourself then. Until these men have the same credibility that Brother Branham had. Well, he'd been 7 times around the world, faced witch doctors and devils, and had demons talk to him at the foot of his bed, and been translated into hell, translated into heaven, until they come to that spot to know the secret of men's hearts. I'll listen to them when they meet that criteria.
Come on.
But a bunch of eggheads sitting behind a computer and sit back and punch in a bunch of words, and I'm supposed to fall for that? How dumb and stupid are we anyways?
That's right. Come on.
We're not looking for vindication. We're looking for an excuse. We're looking for an excuse because the battle is getting hard.
Yeah.
And people are wanting to get out of this thing as quick as they can possibly, but I'm not running.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm not running by the grace of God. We're not going to run, little bride. We're going to stand here and fight. This is our property.
Yes, sir.
This is where the bride belongs. This is our rightful inheritance. Notice in Numbers chapter 20, chapter 20, verse 1. Oh, I just want you to watch this. Notice, then there came the children of Israel, the whole congregation of the desert of Zin in the first month. The people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. There was no water for the congregation. They gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron.
Yeah.
Isn't that always the way it is? There, the people don't get what they want. They're going to take it out on the leaders. I know some of y'all don't like that. I personally don't care. It's the truth whether you say amen or not.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. That don't sound nice. I don't care if it sounds hateful. It's the truth anyhow.
Come on.
Come on. Let's not be a bunch of spoiled babies. We can't point our fingers. If you backslide, don't you point your finger at one preacher in Arkansas or Oklahoma or nowhere else. If you backslide, point to your own self. Because you're the one that quit praying. You're the one that quit reading the Word. You're the one that got an attitude against the things of God.
Yes, sir.
Preaching. People all the time carrying on about this pastor, this evangelist, that evangelist. Well, then shut your mouth and come do the job and lead us and show us how it's done.
Amen.
You've got the answers. Come show us how it's done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put up or shut up.
Yes.
Amen. I'm a nice guy, I promise.
Amen.
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 Brother, the time of playing games and playing church, it's over.
Amen.
Brother, the rapture is laying right above us. Oh God, it's time to get ready to go home.
Amen.
Enough of these games, enough of this playing around. Let's get down to business with God.
Amen. Yes.
Notice, oh my, verse 3. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, would to God we would have died with our brethren, died before the Lord. Religious complainers.
Right.
That's what they are. Religious complainers. Oh, they're complaining, but they got to keep God in the midst of it.
Yeah.
You know, now, brother, I would come to church, but you know, Brother Branham said, if you can't agree with the man, you know, and all that, if you can't get what the man says, well, just leave the man. Well, how many men they plan on leaving?
Come on.
How many people, how many churches they going to hop around to?
Come on,
friends. People around this message, there's a man stood in the pulpit not long ago and told a pastor friend of mine, he said, "You're my 16th pastor." I thought, dear God, where are we at?
Right.
People ain't got stability. They're not stable in the Word of God. And don't you realize a mark of Cain is a vagabond to go from place to place
That's
place.
That's exactly right.
God, give us a place to find home. We need to get there.
Yes, sir.
I said, we need to get there. Come on, somebody.
Right.
We've got a revelation somewhere in our heart about where do we belong. We need to stay there if God put us there.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
But the first little trouble comes up. But you know, that church is so hot. It comes wintertime and they crank that heat up so hot. Thank God you've got heat to have in the church. But you know what it is? It's religious complaining. Y'all come for a revival tonight and I've slapped you in the face. But it's been good, ain't it? Don't you enjoy it? Don't you enjoy the Lord smacking you around a little bit? I know I do. I need it sometimes too, don't you? I said, don't you? Yes, sir. Sometimes the Holy Ghost has got to put us in line. Let's face facts, we're too spoiled. We get soft pews, soft cushioned chairs. We get everything the way we want it. Nice soft carpet to walk on. The building is beautiful. We sit down, we got good Bibles to read, good clothes, got deodorant to put on our arms. At least we hope some of you are. We got all these wonderful things around us, and then we come to church and nitpick and complain about everything that moves. Would to God we would have died with our brethren when our brethren died before the Lord. Oh, don't that sound nice? And then some backslidden outfit will come along and say, that's right, bless your little heart. Why, you're just damaged, that's what you are, you're damaged. Good. Well, why don't you just come on over here to my church? Subtitle, come pay your tithes here.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
That's what a lot of them want. A lot of this comes down to who can get the money, not who can get the soul.
That's right.
Notice, why have you brought the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness? That we and our cattle should die here. Drop down to verse 10, same chapter. Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And Moses gets so discouraged with these people. And he said, "Hear now, ye rebels." Now what's he done? He's let the people affect his ministry. And now the people are overwhelming his attitude in his call of God. And now he's standing at the rock. Now think of this, with enough power in him that he can call water from the rock. But his attitude has been converted. He's been under the influence of the choding and the chiding and so forth of the people. And now his attitude has changed to reflect their murmuring. So Moses walks right up to the rock and breaks every type in the Bible. And he takes the stick and hits the rock. I said, "You bunch of rebels."
Yes.
Amen.
That's right.
Even prophets can get discouraged.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, "Used to be a little poem that used to encourage me so. Columbus was one that used it. Sail on, sail on, right. Sail on."
Amen.
Well,
yeah.
It's better than dropping anchor.
That's right.
Amen.
It's better than dropping anchor and quitting.
Right.
Sail on, sail on. This too shall pass.
Yes, sir.
Maybe come in your life. It may be some of the greatest trials you've ever been through in your life, but this too shall pass.
Amen.
Sail on, sail on. We talk about beyond the curtain of time. You realize when the Lord Jesus allowed him to go beyond the curtain of time, one reason God allowed him to do it is because Brother Branham was coming to the spot where he was discouraged, knowing that half his life was over and he hadn't felt like he'd done anything for the Lord. So God took him to see all that to encourage his prophet.
Right.
Amen. Remember what he said?
Yeah.
"It would encourage me so much," he says. Here's a man that's led 1 million souls to Christ, and he's discouraged. Kind of makes our little discouragements pretty petty, don't it? But he's encouraged by what? A little poem. A little poem. Sail on. Sail on. I was preaching, he says, one day in an arena of a football stadium. And I went in, there's a little sign there that always encouraged me. Are you ready? This is a deep, deep, godly, holy revelation. It's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
This man's not even using Bible to encourage him. Can you find me the scripture where Jesus ever said them words?
Come on.
Peter, Paul, James, any of them? No. No. So Brother Bradham is using a sign that's applicable to football players? License plates, poems, and football signs. What kind of a revelation do we have on our hands after all? All right, come on, children. Now think, why was this prophet doing this? Because he was looking for something to encourage himself. He knew that God was not going to hold his hand in every circumstance and push him through a little pipe and let him be an overcomer. He knew that certain things he was going to have to fight for himself.
Amen.
Oh my. Notice in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Let me have just a little bit more of your time. Can I please?
Amen.
Thank you. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Paul says, 19 and 20, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Speaking to yourselves. Speaking to yourselves. So in other words, Paul's not saying, now let God sing a song to you. But he's saying, you sing to yourself.
Yes, sir.
But I can't carry a tune in a bucket, but God likes your bucket. God likes to hear you singing. Hey, who knows? Maybe in a heavenly realm, maybe your off-key singing fits in somewhere to the heavenly choir. Who knows?
Sure does.
Maybe there's a chord somewhere that we don't know about that doesn't exist maybe here on earth, but it exists up there.
Come on.
Hallelujah! Don't let them things stop you!
Amen.
Obey the word! Speak to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart, giving thanks. Lord, how you and I could learn that lesson right here tonight. You know, it's interesting to me. I always find out where a lot of people are in their walk with the Lord by watching them order at a restaurant. I do. I can tell a whole lot about a person by how they order in a restaurant. If the lady is snappy or the guy is snappy, or if he's, you know, got kind of an attitude or doesn't bring their stuff right away, I always can tell whether that person's really got a good dose of Holy Ghost patience or not.
Right.
Sweetness of God, fruits of the Spirit. Lord, y'all children get quiet on the shores of the world now.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody going to want to go eat with me after church. Amen. Now, I don't watch it like a hawk, but I always notice that sometimes a Christian really tells on themselves right when the pressure's on. You know what I'm saying? Right when you're at your hungriest and that guy ain't moving, or when you've done preached your guts out, you're waiting on that Diet Pepsi. That's me, in case you didn't know. The attitude some people have just sitting in a restaurant. I don't know why in the world I come to this place. Every time I come here, that guy serves them before he ought or serves me. Giving thanks, huh? Y'all want to have the altar call now? Okay. Just checking. Now thank! Giving thanks! Having a thankful attitude. If you're riding down the road in a car and it's getting you from point A to point B, don't grumble because it ain't like this guy or like this guy or like that guy. Don't grumble because it don't smell like you want it to smell.
Right.
Be thankful.
Amen.
Maybe if you had a grateful attitude over that little jalopy Pinto you drive, maybe God would put you in a BMW sometime in your lifetime. But I found out a long time ago, Jesus ain't going to hand a BMW over to a Pinto attitude.
That's right.
Oh, I'm preaching now, Brother Robert. Y'all might as well settle in. We're here.
That's right.
Come on now. Now look at how many times we discourage ourselves with little old simple stupid things.
Right.
that 10 minutes that you spent complaining about whether or not you got hot burritos, you could have spent that 10 minutes talking about the goodness of the Lord.
Amen.
And asking God, you know, to do something in somebody's life or praying.
Huh?
And this is how we've prayed over our meal many times. Heavenly Father, thank you for this food. God bless you. Amen. That's our attitude when it comes to many of the things that we do in this life. We're so unthankful for what we have. Oh, I may have to amen myself tonight. Y'all are getting so quiet. Amen, amen. Preach, preach. I will preach. Amen. Attitudes, attitudes of such unthankfulness. Get quiet if you want to. I'm preaching it anyhow. Amen. That's our attitude for so many things. How many times do you take your Bible and make it a coffee coaster?
Oh, man.
Whenever this precious word of God should be gripped into your arms with such reverence. Knowing that saints have given their shed blood to make sure you had a Bible. Let's just be honest. Look at our attitude. Is it any wonder we stay so discouraged all the time?
Amen.
Because we're just not thankful
right.
for what we have.
Right.
Well, my son or daughter don't serve the Lord. Thank God you have a son and daughter to be in that condition in the first place.
Amen.
My mom and dad don't serve the Lord. At least you got a mom and dad that you got a chance to win to the Lord. At least you got a mom and dad you can pray for. There'll be many an orphan tonight that will die and go by the way of the grave and never know who their real mom and dad are, but yet you know who they are. So many things. Why do we discourage ourselves so much? It's the devil trying to take joy from us.
Amen, amen. Brother.
He knows if he can blind us to the opportunities to be thankful, he knows that when the trials are on, we'll have no way to encourage ourselves.
Uh-huh. All right.
Amen. Who walked here tonight? You're at liberty. Put your hand up. Who walked? Who rode a bicycle? Who rode cars? Really? When you walked in the back doors, did you stop and say, thank you, Lord, for giving me a good vehicle to get me here tonight?
Sure, brother.
Do we even think about it? Let's be honest. Many times we don't even consider it.
Amen.
And then when the trials come on, we think, Lord, what in the world? Y'all want to have a staring contest tonight? I can stare at you.
That's the truth, brother. Come on.
Thankfulness. Attitude of gratitude. I want you to know, in my spiritual hotel, there is no vacancy for impossibility. Glory to God.
Amen.
Oh my. Giving thanks always for all things.
Amen.
Unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 Now look, I know we get aggravated. I know certain things happen that irritate us, and they probably should. But it's our attitude and how we conduct ourselves.
Right.
That's true.
As to whether or not we're going to win in these zigzag situations or not.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Question answered, Brother Brown says, when a person is a personal worker, dealing with a person seeking the Holy Ghost, he said, what can we do to stay scriptural? Brother Brown says, just keep quoting the Word to him. That's the best thing. The Word has the light. Say, brother, Jesus promised. Remember, it's His promise. Don't shake Him, push Him, move Him around or something. Don't try to drill. Don't try to give it to Him because you can't do it. He said, God will give it to Him. You just keep quoting the promises over and over. Keep standing there quoting the promise.
Amen.
So if somebody is seeking for the Holy Ghost, and that's how we get them in the atmosphere of receiving the Holy Ghost, to stand there, quote the Word, 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 until God can bring the light on the Word that's being quoted. Wonder if we were standing in a lot of our conditions and trials and things, if we would just stand flat-footed and start quoting the promise of God until God brought the light to that trial.
Amen.
He's an ever-present help in the time of trouble.
Amen.
In the times of trouble, He will hide us in His pavilion, in the secret of His stairs. He will direct your path. Even though a man fall, He will uphold him by His right hand. We just stand there. We just stand there. Keep quoting. Keep quoting. Quick quote. Keep quoting. I wonder if the Holy Spirit wouldn't come right down in the middle of that. Did not the Bible say that God inhabits the praise of His people? And yet, when we come to the house of God, one of the things we do so little of is praise. That's the least thing on our mind. We want to get in there and hear the preaching. Get out of church. You are not here just to hear preaching. You are here to give to Jesus.
Right.
He has waited for 6,000 years for somebody to worship him. You are here to give your hands, your eyes, your mouth, your feet. It doesn't matter if you like it or not. Doesn't matter if you feel like it or not. Doesn't matter what's going on in your life or not. You are here as a priest to give a spiritual sacrifice. Even if all hell's breaking loose around you, raise them hands up anyways. Raise your hands and open your mouth and say, thank you, Lord God. I've got an attitude of thankfulness. Don't shake him and push him around. Quote the word to him. 1 Thessalonians 4. When the Lord descends from heaven with a shout, he said, the dead are caught up. Notice in verse 18, Paul said, comfort one another with these words.
Amen.
Now notice that's not God quit comforting you, but that's me comforting you.
Right.
You comforting me
right.
with these words. What are we doing? Encouraging one another.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. With the word. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore comfort yourselves together. And edify one another, even as also ye do. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Now, I wonder tonight, how many wants to do the will of God? All right, about eight of you. What's the matter with the rest of y'all? Huh? I said, who wants to do the will of God? Oh, more hands. I knew there's more of you folks in here tonight. Well, you want to do the will of God, this is what he said. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God.
Amen.
Well, I thought y'all said you want to do the will of God.
Yes.
I just read to you what it was. In everything give thanks.
Yes.
That's the will of God for your life. Give thanks, give thanks, give thanks, give thanks. What happens when I'm done giving thanks? Give thanks again for giving thanks. And keep on thanking God. Keep on praising God. Remember the prophet of God said God gave the promise to Abraham. And for 25 years he watered it with praise and adoration.
Amen. Yes, sir.
This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Jesus Christ the same. Brother Abraham says, now if you say something and you say amen, that won't scare me a bit. He said, it'll encourage me.
Amen.
You know the easiest way to discourage a preacher? Sit there and tighten your mouth down like you ate a jar full of peanut butter before you come to church. That discourages a man quicker than anything else in the world because he's studied, he's prayed, he's spent hours looking at things in the message. He's come to the house of God to try to feed you the word, to feed on the word himself. And he's trying to pull something out of there to see whether you're getting that word or not. And then people come to church and sit there like this.
Amen.
Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 38, Joshua the son of Nun was standing before thee, he shall go in thither and encourage him.
Yes.
For he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Deuteronomy chapter 3 verse 28, but charge Joshua and encourage and strengthen him. I heard Brother Branham say just today, somebody come by and said, really enjoyed that sermon, Brother Branham. The preacher said, walk by and said, ha, I wouldn't let nobody brag on me like that. He said, well, I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
He said, Daddy used to make me work harder because he'd always tell me I'm doing a good job.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. It encourages a man.
Yeah.
How do you think us preachers feel when we gather in a meeting like this and we are preaching until we can feel our blood pressure shooting out of our temples? And people are sitting there staring. When you get out of church and somebody comes by and shakes your hand and says, boy, Brother Prater, that was a masterpiece. It encourages us.
Yeah.
Say, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Amen, sir.
A lot of preachers around say, oh, I don't want nobody bragging on me. But the Bible said, there's only one difference between me and you, sir. He said, I'm telling the truth. And you're not.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Amen.
We all like to hear it.
Yes.
I said we all like to hear it.
Yes, sir.
We like to hear nice things said about us.
That's right.
Come on now, don't get quiet on me.
Come
on. We all like to hear encouraging words. And the Bible said we should do it.
That's right.
That's right.
Oh my, Brother Manning says, here you preachers, my brethren, you're not immune from the blessings of God because you're shepherds. How many of you men know that I don't know? You raise your hand. You preachers. All right. Encourage your faith to believe. Encourage your faith to believe. So he's not just saying, be encouraged in the Lord. Let the Lord encourage you. But he's saying, encourage your faith to believe. Believe what? That you can be blessed. That you can have goodness of God. Friends, let's be honest. Many of you sitting here will probably never figure out the revelation of the seals and the thunders and all them deep things. But if you could figure out that you have a right to be blessed, amen, you're doing pretty good.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. And persevering, Brother Bam says, he said, I like her. He said, she still held on. He said, she was persevering. She was not a hotbed plant. Had to be baby. Oh, Lord, y'all went from shouting the house down. Now I can barely squeak an amen out of something.
Come on.
Now you're pinning me down. Am I supposed to say amen? Yeah. Be thankful. Amen. Be glad the Holy Ghost is pinning you down.
Amen.
And thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
She didn't have to be baby. You didn't have to beg her.
Right.
Say, now, sister, I would encourage you to go. And I said, no, sir, there wasn't nobody there to encourage her. Even Jesus himself tried to discourage her.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Ooh, glory. I feel like a holy roller, sir, now, friends. Glory to God. Even Jesus himself tried to discourage a woman. Brother, the devil's bad enough. But when God tries to discourage you, and God can discourage you, you've got some pretty persistent faith. Amen.
Right.
That kind of person, look out, devil.
Yes.
Oh, he said, even Christ stand there trying to discourage her. But she held out. Amen. Perseverance. She had arrived at something and she knew it.
Amen.
She didn't back up and say, well, you know, church is kind of slow tonight. Certain people aren't here. This one ain't there. That one ain't doing this. That one here. That one there. What are you supposed to do when you see this stuff going on around you? Is it discouraging? Yes.
Amen.
Does it bother you? Yes. But what are you supposed to do about it?
Right.
Encourage yourself.
Amen. Yes.
In the
Amen.
Lord your God.
Amen.
Half of you are smiling, the other half don't know what to do.
Come on, brother.
I've done my job then. Let's stand.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Have you fed on the Word tonight?
Amen.
Has it encouraged your heart?
Amen.
Now, friends, I want to ask you something. What kind of people do we want to be? Do we want to be this group in the message that always has to be babied and petted? You hear Brother Bam talk about, you know, having to make somebody a deacon, having to make them this, having to make them that. Just to do what? Encourage them to come to church.
Yes.
What if God was to look at some of you tonight and say, I want you to be a doormat. I want you to be a doormat. You to be a doormat, 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 doormat.
Amen.
And the people come into church and wipe their feet on you. And that's what your job is. What if you go out there and get that doormat out front, throw up here on this pulpit and say, testify, tell us something. Today somebody tracked a bunch of filth on me. But God needs doormats in his body.
Yes.
He needs people that are willing sometimes to take the heat, to take the pressure,
right,
to take the hard times. So what are we supposed to do? Because we don't have a certain position, because maybe we're not a preacher, or we're not a certain this or that, we're just supposed to what? Lay down and die? We're supposed to encourage ourselves.
Right.
That's right.
Encourage ourselves. Say, Lord, this is what you wanted out of my life. You positioned me in your body for a purpose. And if you place me here, there's a reason for me to be here.
That's right.
By God's grace, I'm going to do everything you want me to do, Lord.
Amen.
And if I get discouraged, I'm going to encourage myself.
Amen.
Because, friends, I'll say it again. There's so many blessings. If God never blessed not one more blessing in the rest of our lives, you and I could sit and shout the rest of the night on the things that God's done for us.
That's right.
But you know what our problem is? We forget.
Amen.
We fail to remind ourselves of the things that God's done for us. How many times he's healed us. How many times he's delivered us. How many times he gave us answers when we didn't have answers. Gave us money when we didn't have money. He kept us in cars. Kept us in clothes. Kept us in food. Kept us in this, that. Had troubles in the family. Troubles in the home. And this happened and that happened. And God come right down and deliver us out of it all. And within a week, we've done forgot what he's done.
Come on.
Hey, friends, I'm guilty just like you. I'm telling you right now, there's been many times in my life I get so ashamed of myself, because when I should be so encouraged in God,
I find myself dwelling on the negative, dwelling on the negative, dwelling on the negative, dwelling on how many people's backslid, dwelling on how many things are going wrong. This and that. Oh my. And no wonder whenever it comes time to try to stand firm in front of the people, you've got to almost pray yourself through every job you got to do for the Lord. Because you're so discouraged, you can't hardly hold your head up. Come on, you people know what I'm talking about. You go to your own job and you wake up in the morning. God gave you that job. Gave you that job above everybody else in the city. And you're going there with your head hanging down. And yet the Holy Ghost handed that job to you with a bow on it. You see how we do? Our attitude has so become around the ranks of this message of such unthankfulness. Friends, there is so much negativity amongst people in this message.
That's right.
You sit down at a table, that's all you hear out of people. You ask them about how things are going in their home, negative thing after. And I realize this ministry and different situations, they merit us talking about these things, but there's a line. There's a line that we don't cross. We go so far with what we have to talk about before we start entering into that negative mindset.
Amen.
Because you can go from talking about a situation to complaining about it.
Right, sir. Yeah.
And you just remember, Brother Brandon said that one of the most horrible things that he's ever seen was somebody always complaining.
Amen.
And I'll go on record tonight and say it just like he said it. Brother Brandon said, complaining weakens faith.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Well, yeah. I've done my best tonight. I hope it helps you.
Amen.
If it didn't, I'm sorry. I don't know what else to say to you, but this is the word.
Amen.
This is what the man taught. This is the Bible. Right here. You believe these things are true?
Amen.
We read them to you right out of the scripture. David encouraged himself. It wasn't God that encouraged David. David encouraged himself. So now you've got a choice to make. You can either leave here and change your attitude and say, Lord, I'm going to be thankful for everything you've given me. Or you can walk out of here with that old Mardi Gras type attitude that we've walked in the doors many times with. Walk out complaining and grumbling and murmuring and carrying on. Or we can have a real conversion tonight. We've been converted in our souls, but sometimes our attitude needs to be converted.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray and ask Him to help us.
Yes.
Lord Jesus. Oh my. Well, Lord, I certainly didn't mean to get into all that tough preaching, but you're certainly mindful of us. And I know that you know what we need. I pray for your children tonight, Lord. God, I realize that of all of the tens of thousands of people on this planet tonight, Lord, there's many of them, no doubt, going through very difficult things. People standing in this room, they've lost loved ones, and different ones have backslid and walked away from truth. Lord, we stand in this message. We've seen a great falling away this last couple of years. So much has happened. We look around and we even see pastors and preachers and things that once stood for the message. Now they're completely, completely standing against it. Oh God, if there's ever been a time that we're seeing zigzag, it's right now. Lord, I pray you'd help us. Help us, Lord, to take what was preached tonight and apply it to our lives, please. Lord, we want it to affect us when people are moving in bad directions. We want to be effective. We want to pray. We want to be sensitive to those needs and hold them before you and believe you, God, for great miracles to happen. But Lord Jesus, don't let these things come to us and allow us to be so discouraged that all we can focus on is what's going on in the negative realms. But God, help us. Help us to look at the blessings that you've given us. If we was to start putting on a piece of paper tonight, Lord God, the many things you've done for us, I wonder, we go way into the night counting our blessings of what you've already done just this day alone. Oh, and the many unseen things that we don't even see. I wonder, Lord Jesus, how many demons did you protect us from today? What if there had been a demon of cancer that saw a backslidden cell in our body today? And your great hand kept that demon from moving into that cell. God, what if there had been a spore in the air, some tubercular, or some meningitis, or some nasty something that, Lord, could have damaged our life and damaged our body. And yet, Lord, right when we went to breathe it in at that moment, the Holy Ghost moved that little spore of disease away. What if it had been an automobile, God? Maybe we wouldn't know it. Lord Jesus, maybe that 3 extra minutes of that certain spot that we got so upset because it didn't move like it needed to move,
Maybe that one little spot was your great hand keeping us from being in a head-on collision with someone. Oh, God, I'm persuaded, Lord, that we all need an attitude adjustment. I want to say tonight humbly, Lord, before your children, start with me, Lord, please. Start with me, God. Change my attitude, Lord Jesus. When I go to looking at these things, help me to be more of an attitude of gratitude, Lord, an attitude of appreciation, of thanksgiving. Lord, we complain so very much. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. Forgive us, Lord God, and help us to learn to encourage ourselves tonight in the Lord our God. Grant it, Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. And don't get in no hurry now. At the end of prayer, I want you to just raise your hands, talk to Him now just a moment and say, Lord Jesus, let that be my attitude tonight, God. Oh, when Jesus preached the Beatitudes, He said, let this be your attitude. Lord God, change us tonight, Father. Change every one of us from the pastor on down. From these preachers in here tonight, Lord Jesus, these men of God, all the way down to the lowliest doormat in this building. Change our attitude, Lord Jesus. Please, Father, change our attitude. Give us such a contrite spirit, Lord, to count our blessings. Help us to stop being so babyfied, Lord God, to be thankful for those things that you've given to us. Help us, Lord God, tonight. Won't you please, Lord? Oh, that's just your prayer. Just tell Him tonight, Lord Jesus, help me. Help me, God. I've got my hands raised to you. I've got my heart open to you tonight, Lord. Father, I want you to do a work in me tonight, Lord Jesus. I want you to do a work in my attitude. You've illuminated an area of my life that I need your help with, Holy Spirit. I just want you to help me tonight, Lord. Grant it, Father. Grant it, Father, for every one of your children, their hands are raised all over the building. I pray the Holy Ghost would help them tonight. May the power of the living Jesus, may it just meet them right there at their seat tonight, I pray. Hallelujah! May the Holy Spirit have the right of way with these, your children, I pray. Grant it, Father. Grant it, Father God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's just give Him a little worship. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God, we love you. We so love you tonight, Jesus. Thank you for your many blessings, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for your many blessings. Thank you for the great things you've done for us, Lord Jesus. Thank you for giving us health and giving us life. Oh, God, thank you for protecting us, Lord. God, thank you for giving us meals today to enjoy, Lord God. Father, give us clean water, giving us clothes on our back. Lord Jesus, cars to drive in. Oh, Father, when I was out there just a few weeks ago, Lord, some of them saints walking 6 and 10 hours just to come to tonight's meeting, Lord God, by foot, catching this bus, that thing, walking this way. Oh, God, there should never be a complaint in neither one of our mouths, Lord. Each one of us, Lord Jesus, should be so thankful for what you've done for us. Oh, God, help us, Lord God, tonight. We praise you, Lord. We thank you tonight, Father. We give you praise. Hallelujah. We give you glory in your house. We thank you tonight, Father. Thank you tonight, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sing something.
I will praise Him.
Yes, amen.
Give him glory.
All ye people.
Each one of you with us tonight, your saints visiting and here in the little meeting tonight. God bless each and every single one of you. May the Lord ever cause His face to shine upon you and give you peace. We certainly love the fellowship of the brethren. I love to see people that, you know, that love Jesus, and I love to gather with them. And friends, I do my very best. No matter what's going on around me, when I see people of light, precious faith, I lay aside every difference. Lay aside everything, every disagreement, anything like that at all. Just come together in the fellowship and just worship.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's what God wants out of us. He wants unity of the faith. We're not always going to see things eye to eye. But by His grace, we are brothers. We are sisters in Him. And we want to serve Him from the best of our ability.
Amen.
Oh, my. Has this helped you tonight?
Amen.
God bless you very much. Pray for me in the morning. That the Lord will give me the message again tomorrow morning. And amen. I don't know. Maybe I don't know if we'll have time for a bite in between. But then it's Eagle Lighthouse Tabernacle tomorrow afternoon, 2:30. Right, Brother Prater is in service. And I'm assuming everybody's cordially invited, I'm sure. Amen. And so we just want to leave that announcement with you. The Lord bless you. God bless you tonight. We love you very much. Amen. So we'll turn it back to your pastor now. Pray for us again that the Lord be with us tomorrow morning and give us the thought. Because we need to hear from Him, don't we?
Amen.
Anybody can open Bibles and message books and talk and tell things out of the message, but the main thing is we want to hear from Him.
Yes. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Did you love that?
Amen.
Man, that's one thing. The bride, she loves the Word. And that's her centerpiece.
That's right.
Amen. He is the centerpiece of the Bible. And you know, my brother's right. I think we've arrived at a time kind of like Shamgar, because we've had a lot of things stolen from us. Right?
Amen.
A lot of loved ones. And so, you know, God didn't tell us it wasn't going to be days that we would have battles and trials. But He did tell us He'd always be with us and help us through those things.
Right. Amen.
And I was thinking as our brother was ministering that Brother Branham come and he preached the rapture message. And, you know, we're all thinking, well, alright, you know, He's going to tell us all about rapture. And when he reads the scripture, he reads Psalms 27.
Right.
In a time of trouble.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. He will hide me in the secret of His tabernacle.
Amen.
He will hide me in the secret of this message. It's not for everybody to see.
That's right.
But it's for you to see.
That's right.
So He can hide you in that secret in a time of trouble. So there is a time of trouble and things going on, but how many would like to see God do something in your life?
Oh my.
That, and let me finish saying this before you raise your hand. And I know you'll raise your hand when I get done, but How many would like to see God do something in your life that's absolutely undeniable by everybody?
Right?
Absolutely undeniable. But you know what? That's what He did with Abraham. But how many years did Abraham have to praise God and thank God for it? And so this brother's right. There is a problem in the message. We don't count our blessings. We are babies. in this country anyway.
Yes, sir.
And so it's true. We need to count our blessings, get back to the place where we realize the things that God has truly done. He's given you and I enough word that we can speak a world into existence and go live on it. Do you know that? He sure has. But it's going to be through a fight and through a battle. That word was to be like honey in our mouth, right? Be sweet as honey. But when it goes down into your belly, it can become bitter. Because that's where you got to digest it. God's not interested in having weak Christians.
Right.
He's not interested in having babies forever.
Right.
Maybe he wants them to grow up into the full stature of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And so, you know, I've told the church many times, I wish I could tell you it's going to be easy, but it's not.
Right.
God's going to have people that are, because Brother Graham said it so many times, God's people are rugged. You know, it's time that we, at least in North America, at least in our circles of what I see and what I know, it's time for us to grow up.
Yes, sir.
Grow up in the Lord.
Yeah.
And be like Shamgar and say, you know what? Enough's enough.
Right.
And so it comes to mind the little chicken trying to peck its way out of the egg. Mm-hmm. Brother Bram said he's got that little thing on there, you know, to do it with, but he said, if you go down there when he's trying to pick his way out, and you go down there and you help him out, and you try to do that, you'll kill him.
Amen.
Sure. And if I could just leave that one thing with us tonight, God's given us the tools that we need.
Right.
But we've got to pick our way out of this.
Amen.
We have to take what he's given us and pick our way out. And there's by no way can he come down and intervene outside of the word that he's given us to do it with. Amen. So that's where we are. And so we thank God for the word tonight.
Amen.
And we enjoyed it.
Amen.
I mean, how many loves coming to the house of God? There's a lot of places you can be on Saturday night. There's a lot of places the devil would like for you to be. Amen. But I enjoy coming to church. It blesses my heart. It blesses me to see the saints begin to walk in and see those faithful, because you're a miracle. You're a miracle because you're still standing.
Amen.
You're still fighting, because in this hour Satan didn't want anybody to believe.
Right.
When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith?
My.
Who can answer that question?
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Yes, he's going to find
amen.
Faith. Amen. Because we are, as the brother said, we are the revival.
Yes.
Amen. Each one of us. So we thank the Lord for his blessings tonight. And we'll close the service in just a minute. I just wanted to recognize those who have come. Brother Tim, God bless you. His saints that come with him from Noel. And Brother Prater and his assembly. And I just, we're rapidly approaching a place where there won't be any time constraints. You know, God's going to get us together over there, and there won't be any time constraints. There won't be any tired bodies or sick bodies. There won't be any sudden colds or whatever it is that comes all of a sudden. That's just the devil.
Right.
He knows what the blessing
exactly
that our sister singing is. We won't have those things. We're rapidly approaching that. And so we want to just look kind of with a spiritual eye of faith. Let's look on that other side where Brother Branham was allowed to see. And I'm sure that it'll encourage us to keep pressing on, because that was what the voice said, to keep pressing on.
Amen.
And so we thank you for coming tonight, and just want to ask the Lord's blessings upon those who are traveling home tonight. Keep them safe on the highway.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Our God's able to do that.
Amen.
Let's just bow our hearts and close the prayer just for a moment. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's been so good to be in your house tonight to hear the things, Lord, that were spoken. And I, Lord, myself want to confess that it's a timely word. A word fitly spoken, Lord, that we need to hear. Lord, I would that the bride across the nation and across the world will hear the things that were spoken tonight. I pray, God, that you would allow us to have these things to sink down into our hearts, Lord, and that we would not forget them, that we would meditate upon them and search ourselves, Lord, and get back to that pathway that leads to victory. Lord, we know that you've got that in the midst of your people. We believe you have a people still in the land, Lord, that will find the strength of the Lord and will encourage himself from the Lord. So we ask, God, that you just help us retain these things we've heard tonight. Lord, bring them to our remembrance in the time when we need it. We ask, God, that you bless each one as they travel home tonight. May you give them strength in their bodies to make it home safely, and then, Lord, then give them a good night's rest. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So God bless you. We'll sing another song. You can be dismissed.
Oh.